as technology becomes more and more and more a part of the daily lives of a rapidly innovative and advancing species of people. The amount of work required by a worker does not seem to decrease.
The implications of a world advancing as fast as ours is that there never seems to be enough time. And because there is not enough time, we have to make sacrifices. And that sacrifice often seems to be sleep.
I'm Joshua.
And I'm tired. I mean Teddy. And join us as we delve into the lives of those born into this fast-moving world.
Gen Z.
World today is increasingly efficient, always innovating and making life easier for civilized society. Why then does there seem to be less and less time to juggle tasks assigned to us?
School, jobs, and activities seem to just build up in people's everyday life and shifts attention from what is really important, sleep.
Sleep is a key factor that sustains people and allows them to function as they should. Problems begin to arise when people go without the recommended amount of sleep and they start to suffer. But first, we must know what sleep is and the value it takes in human life.
Are you ready, kids?
Aye, aye, Captain!
I can't hear you!
Sleep is an altered state of consciousness where the sensory activity, voluntary muscles, and all outside world surroundings become dormant. Basically, any physical interactions of your brain still remains extremely active during this time. Imagine sleep being a window. Now, when you are awake, that window is wide open, taking in all the stimuli and information around it into the building. But when you're asleep, that window is still open, just not as wide. Small airflow will still go in and out, but not like when you're awake. Showing how the brain is still active as we sleep. Growth is one of these key elements of why people sleep. Not only for physical growth, but also for cognitive growth. It is also theorized that dreams help us retain information better and help alleviate stress. Going without sleep for extended periods of time could prove to be detrimental to one's health.
It's not like us teenagers are healthy anyways. But the lack of sleep definitely does not do us any good. To get the opinions of many people from Generation Z, we looked at fellow peers in the Shadow Mountain community, a Paradise Valley high school student, and a few millennials to provide a comparison between the amount of sleep they got and the hours students currently get.
The results of the survey, which as of this recording, have been answered by a whopping 65 students from the Shadow Mountain high school community.
And all of them seem to agree that the lack of sleep tends to lead to lower performance overall in academics and higher tendencies to be irritable. In varying degrees of the 65 students, some having more sleep needs than others, they agreed that sufficient sleep was important to their success academically. For instance, one of the responses stated that if they receive anything less than 8 hours, they will be irritable and grumpy. This compared to one response that stated that prolonged sleep deprivation made them depressed, and they only slept 1 to 3 hours a night.
In interactions with my peers, it can sometimes be incredibly evident who has gotten sleep and who hasn't. Sometimes done by simply counting all the heads not firmly planted to the desk. Sometimes it's so bad that part of me wants to get up and go check who still has a pulse.
Do you think that sometimes the attentiveness of the students could be in combination with the teacher and the subject being taught?
Yes. In fact, if a student is not engaged in the topic, or the teacher does not do anything to try and spike the interest level of the students, it can make a sleep-deprived student feel like the day is dragging on forever and ever. In most classes where notes are taken and movies are played almost daily, it can be hard to exert any effort into actually comprehending the subject compared to trying to simply stay conscious. I think we can all say we have been there at one point or another.
Yeah, I definitely have been there, being that I personally do not get near the amount of sleep I should be getting. The clock seems to tick by slower every time I look back at it, especially in early morning classes where I'm still not fully awake. I struggle to be motivated into doing my work. And if I am being honest, the teachers don't always help by adding so much homework to my plate. It makes recovering from a detriment of sleep even more hard or difficult. I will be honest, though, that, especially with Generation Z kids, technology is a definite distraction that we can't stay away from. But I also feel like there should be more to a teenager's life than writing essay after essay and crunching formula after formula. We just want to relax, we want a game, we want to have fun with our friends. And this is most evidently a problem in the higher academic courses, such as DAPS, where students have to allocate larger amounts of their time and energy to accomplish homework and assignments tasked to them. The poll that we collected, marginalized to only include the DAPS students, found that oftentimes DAPS students got less sleep than their fellow peers. 15.8% more DAPS kids got less or equal to 6 hours of sleep than the general population of the classes we asked to take the poll. A note of bias here, though, is that out of the classes we surveyed, all of them were either AP or honors because those are the teachers that we knew.
It seems that the life of a teenager has become almost like an assembly line of homework to turn into the teacher in a never-ending pattern. That's what I think leads to people to cheat and drop out of high school, simply to just catch a break. It's much easier to cheat on an assignment or collaborate with another student with similar classes to finish things in a timely manner. And I believe it gets worse with the higher difficulty level classes.
It is definitely a problem, and part of it is undoubtedly the fault of the student, with procrastination being almost as common as the assignment the teachers throw out. But who really wouldn't want to put off the cycle we are brought up in? Like, I won't lie, my first thought after getting home from school is that I just want to sleep or relax at home and not work for another 4 to 8 hours on homework for the next day.
And I would like to make it clear that we are not putting blame on teachers in any way at all. Most of the time, they're just assigning moderate amounts of homework for curriculum they're required to cover in their subject in the time frame of the school year. It just often seems that due dates seem to occur at almost the same time, with tests most often being on Fridays and excessive amounts of homework being due throughout the week or over the weekend.
And it isn't like the teachers themselves don't notice their underlying problem. It is just that there is only so much time in the school year to be able to teach students effectively for the tests they have to give and the requirements of the district. And just like students with homework, there just does not seem to be enough time. One teacher that I interviewed, Ms. Jardine, has noticed this as well. And when I asked her to comment on possible solutions, she said this. How many hours would you say you slept while you were in high school?
Seven.
Did the amount of sleep you got affect how well you did in school?
I think that it did. I think the more sleep you get, the better prepared you are for the next day.
And how many hours do you usually get now?
I sleep a lot now, so maybe 8 hours at least a night. Probably close to eight, yeah.
Would you say that students nowadays are getting less sleep than you were in high school?
I think they get less sleep. I also think I have a large number of students who have a lot of advanced classes, and those students stay up doing homework. So yes, I think that they sleep less than I used to.
And what would you suggest to change the amount of sleep teenagers are getting?
That's tough. I wouldn't say, necessarily do less work, but maybe if it was more evenly dispersed throughout the school year, then that would help. But I do think that the workload has a big effect on student sleep, especially our more ambitious students who are taking more advanced classes.
Would you suggest like limiting projects or having like more coordination between teachers?
I do like that. I don't know necessarily limiting projects, but I do think communication between teachers would be helpful.
That's it. Like a shared calendar.
Ms. Jardine and other teachers alike do realize that there is a problem with the amount of homework students are getting. She herself recognizes that a lot of students are taking rigorous classes and have a large amount of homework that coincides with it. It is almost guaranteed in our school that if you have a good reason for not turning in an assignment on time, a teacher will accept it. Maybe a bit begrudgingly, but nonetheless.
I wonder what the generations before us had to deal with in their daily lives. Were they getting as little sleep as the students seem to be getting now? Did they have problems with the workload?
Now, let's take a listen to another interview conducted with the student from Paradise Valley High School. This student is in a program that is called CREST, the CREST program. This program is heavily focused on science and technology, engineering, and math. A good parallel to the literature-focused DAPS program here at Shadow Mountain High School.
What is your name, grade, and school?
My name is Jack McClellan. I'm in ninth grade and I go to Paradise Valley High School.
How much sleep do you think you get every night?
I think I get about 6 to 8 hours of sleep every night.
Now, has this amount of sleep ever affected your school work ethic from your day-to-day life?
Definitely. Like, after being so tired and going to school, you sort of just get home and you don't want to do anything. And just take a nap sometimes because I'm tired.
Nice. What do you believe are the factors that cause you to not get enough sleep each night?
Too much homework, and homework is just really hard. And then I don't sleep well in general. I don't know.
So, do you feel that you are ever sluggish or grumpy when you wake up, and does that mood continue throughout your typical day?
No, I don't really get sluggish and grumpy when I wake up. I only get grumpy when I go to some of my classes.
as we heard, he gets the above average amount of sleep, like the results gathered from our survey. But it does not greatly affect his mood at school. But when he got home, he would constantly nap because he was tired. Now, napping is not necessarily the best way to compensate for the loss of sleep, because it is not the full amount that you need in one take. Sleep requires going through the different stages of sleep multiple times throughout the night.
Scientists have hypothesized and determined that there are four stages of sleep. 1, 2, 3, and the fourth one being called REM sleep.
Now, in the first stage of sleep, there is slower eye movement, and it is the lightest stage of sleep. It is able to tell if someone is in this stage because they will be able to be easily awoken. The brain activity also slowly decreases in this stage, setting up for the second stage.
Now, in the second stage is when things start to get tipsy. It becomes increasingly hard to wake a person up in this stage. Eye movement slows down even more than the first stage, and the brain starts to become more active, but with a random burst of activity.
The third stage is where the healing starts. This is where the delta waves, also known as slow brain waves, really start to have their full effect. It is quite beyond difficult to awake a person from this sleep cycle stage.
After that stage completes, we get into the fourth and final stage of sleep called REM sleep, also known as the rapid eye movement stage. This is when your body gets more accelerated. The heart rate, breathing, and eye movement are very fast, thus the name rapid eye movement. Most importantly, dreaming occurs in this stage, which, as discussed earlier, can be good for mental stress and depression.
The fourth stage is when the most restoration and energy are gained. But with sleepiness, exhaustion, and other moody feelings being so substantial and frankly overloading, it can be a formula for disaster in school and any complex mental process.
And that is undoubtedly seen in the responses of numerous students in the survey. For some insight, let's take a look at a few and hear how they say sleep is affecting them. One respondee said, on quote, "Usually I average at least 6 to 7 hours, and I have better focus and increased mood when I get 8+ hours of sleep. I feel like working harder as well with more sleep. My work ethic typically determines whether or not I complete some assignments later and sleep less. It determines my efficiency and level of happiness the next day. Sleeping less means feeling tired, irritated, or less productive. In general, life is regulated by and somewhat controlled by a need and desire to sleep."
Another respondee replied with, "I feel tired all the time and not motivated to do anything. But honestly, I have been sleeping so little for so long, this is my new normal. Maybe there's a whole other version of myself who isn't crabby and tired all the time and can actually get stuff done."
And the last example is, unquote, "I hate the amount of sleep I get. It pretty much kills me, because the poor sleeping habit perpetuates a vicious cycle. I don't sleep because it takes forever to get my work done, because I'm too tired to focus. And when the productivity is down, my depression often spikes, which causes my productivity to decrease even more. Yeah, sleep is really good, and I try to do it more often than I do." The quotes kind of start to show a correlation between them, that a lack of sleep tends to lead to a lack of performance. But students are less able to pay attention in their classes. They're less motivated to do their homework after school. There starts to be this really big problem where if you fall behind on one night's homework and get less sleep consequently, you're falling more and more behind in all of your homework.
Not only does it show that, but it also shows the benefactors of sleep. Like, it increases motivation and limits procrastination. I mean, napping you could consider as one of those things that's a procrastination. Any form of procrastination just is not good and can lead to even more sleep loss.
Yeah, and a lot of depression is being reported from these summaries. And yeah, I feel like the amount of homework people have, procrastination, all of it really combined kind of contributes to this sort of kind of pattern of students struggling. And I feel like technology, such as like tablets and computers, really don't help that because of the blue light, where you're not supposed to be exposed to it an hour before bed, or it kind of upsets your circadian rhythm.
Yeah, most doctors recommend to not use any electronic devices 1 hour before you go to sleep so that you don't mess up your circadian rhythms.
And with having like things like those midnight essays and those like timed writing, so all these like digital assignments that are being assigned as the world becomes more and more technologically integrated, there's really a massive problem because you'll have people with insomnia, like they can't fall asleep because their circadian rhythm's so messed up. And like you have students lying awake already sleep deprived, they still can't figure out why they can't just pass out.
And one way that people try and make themselves sleep, you know, through the ways of like sleeping pills or like melatonin. Melatonin, you know, easily just pick it up from like any pharmacy. Sleeping pills, I'm pretty sure those have to be prescribed by a doctor. But the fact that we need to force ourselves to sleep just is not an increasingly good thing.
Yeah, and I feel like going back into like the symptoms of depression, I feel like all of those, all the lack of sleep, the lack of motivation, I feel like that kind of leads into like the higher rates of dropouts, those higher suicide rates, the higher lack, like there's less motivation all around, that less people are wanting to actually participate in society, whether it be actually there or being motivated enough to get a job because they just want a break.
And granted, this may not be the main factor for depression, but you know, any factor of depression is not a good factor. And the more we eliminate all those factors, you know, other factors could be like home life, you know, school stress, all that good stuff. Not good stuff, just kidding. But, you know, just getting more sleep, that helps you feel better. And, you know, maybe it will help limit your depression levels a little bit. You know, take whatever you can to help.
And any way to alleviate even minimal amounts of depression, and like if there's one kid that getting that 1 hour more of sleep can make them feel better about themselves and live a happier life, that's good. And I feel like sleep is relatively independent, like it depends from person to person. Like we saw with a lot of surveys that one person needs 8 hours just to function, and a lot more people, especially in the DAPS class, can get by with just 4 to 6 hours, which is not recommended in the least. For teenagers, it's recommended like 7 to 10 hours of sleep at least, just for their developmental factors.
Right, and kids like in the DAPS class and other responses that we have seen in the survey have said that they have like gotten used to the fact that they have gone without less sleep, like every night. And you know, we know people that do that. And, you know, we see them, like, fall asleep in class and doze off a lot. And, you know, they say that they're used to it. You know, they can do it. They get all their work done, all that good stuff. Yeah, but, like, what's the cost? What are you, like, losing because of this?
Their circadian rhythm is definitely messed up. And
a hypocrite in this, because I am definitely one of those people that is, especially around midday, you're lucky to catch me having my head above the table. I may just be face down, closing my eyes, because I can't focus. Like, my eyes burn when I keep my eyes open.
I definitely have seen that.
But, I mean, I feel like there's a lot of factors that contribute to it. Because some people finish their work slower. Like, it takes a lot of people time to think through these questions that they have. Especially for, like, maths and sciences. Some people just get it way quicker. And I feel like giving the same amount of homework per person isn't necessarily the best case. I feel like the best practice for each person is the amount that they can handle. And I feel like challenging the brain is enough in itself. And I feel like having the combination of all this homework from different subjects kind of, like, stresses people. Like, they don't have time to focus on one subject and understand it, because it's all about completing the problem and moving on to the next subject.
Not only can we forget about quantity, but we have our amazing people out there who are the perfectionists. You know, they will spend hours and hours, perhaps on their English essay, trying to make it perfect, pristine, like the most gorgeous jewel that you have ever seen. And sometimes, you know, you just cannot force yourself to do that, because, you know, you have written the best to your ability, and that's really what teachers look for most of the time. They want to see that you've completely, like, expressed your thoughts, and that all your work is there. They count that for most of the points.
And I feel like a lot of those perfectionists are in the higher level classes because they have more motivation generally. And with all that perfectionist nature, with all these various subjects, with all assigning different homework, it's hard to be a perfectionist. It's hard to do your best work when you're being demanded so much in quantity. And I feel like maybe a possible solution might be having more organization among teachers, like not giving tests all on the same day, or maybe spreading out the homework. Because even me personally, I have days where I'll have like maybe one assignment, and then I'll have days where I'm getting multiple assignments per class to do what I feel is tedious work that I just can't comprehend or like do to the best of my ability. Like for pre-calculus, she posts all the answers online. Like, do you know how tempting it is to not understand the concept but be done with it?
Very tempting indeed.
Yeah, it's just like everyone wants to be able to understand what they're learning, but I feel like comes a point where sleep becomes a bigger priority, and a lot of students make that sacrifice. So cheating seems more attractive, or collaborating with students, other students you could call it, just to get that edge, to be able to sleep a little bit more. Because, I mean, people aren't always able to work on their homework at home. Like, they have lives. A lot of them have family members that are demanding. Like, they have chores. They maybe have a job. They may be helping to support their family. Especially with, like, the lower income households where that money's really needed. And those are the people that need the biggest education growth, because they need to get better careers so their family can be better financially.
Yes, many people have family issues. Some people also focus a lot on their sports. Now, obviously, they have to maintain good grades to keep that sport. So, cheating and other forms of that do become a viable option for them.
And I feel like, especially with people, like, I knew this person who was in cheer their entire year, who, like, it's such a demanding sport, both, for practice, you have to attend almost every practice, it's mandatory, and you're so like tired by the time you get home. Like, how do you stay motivated to do that? How do you even stay awake at that point? Like, That's why so many people are leaving cheer or can't handle it. And, like, especially with Generation Z, where there's all this new technology that can distract you. Like, how many of us would rather play a video game than do homework that is oftentimes just review or just something that you can help get help from a friend who will gladly give you their homework? It's much easier to put it off and do something that's seemingly more exciting than this seemingly plain cyclical, like, weekly life of every teenager, it seems to be.
And especially with all those distractors, you know, there's, I could name like 20 in just my room alone right now, and just be like, wow, I would rather much do any one of those for 6 hours than do like 1 hour of homework. Just because of how my brain interacts with that different like subject, and how like my motivation factors and my engagedness toward that different like specific like subject just are together.
And like things like YouTube especially, like, it's literally designed to try and keep you on the website. You're trying to maybe watch one educational video, and maybe it feeds into eventually the next PewDiePie video. It's hard to kind of gauge yourself, because, I mean, most humans are visual learners, and having a video at your disposal, any video you could ever want, and a lot of them entertaining, more so than that simple piece of paper that you have to write your newest learned equations on for math. It's just way more attractive, and Generation Z just happens to be the first children to have that at their disposal. Like, probably with millennials, there is an equally distracting subject, like new phones. Like, people were able to talk on their payphones, talk on their phones in their households. That must have been distracting. Imagine being able to communicate with your friends whenever you want. It's very attractive, and distractions will be found wherever. Maybe in 50 years, people will be distracted by their fully immersive VR games, or their holograms, or their paper-thin phones. It's hard to try and tell a child not to be distracted.
It becomes even more increasingly hard when companies want you to get sucked into their product. Like we mentioned, YouTube. They set up their algorithms so that you get sucked into videos for hours and hours, being recommended one thing after the other. That just leads onto this whole spiral of, like, entertainment, but, you know, what's the cost? And, you know, we have smartphones. They suck us into every app that we can, like, get our little grubby little hands on. And they want us to get sucked into all their other products. Like, you know, Apple. We got the iPhone. We got those iPads. The iComputers. iPods. AirPods. Something else. And they want us to have, like, all of those so that we feel like we are in control of everything at once. But, you know, really, they are controlling us, in a sense.
I feel like a lot of it is driven by, especially with teenagers, they're driven to kind of want to fit in. And I feel like trends such as technologies are especially attractive because, one, it's a new field. Two, it increases your popularity. Like, in actuality, something like AirPods are probably no more efficient than your wired earbuds. There may be a little more ease of use, but nothing incredibly life-changing or life-altering. It's just because it's attractive. It's a new product. And Generation Z has this sort of consumer outlook that they're incredibly lucky to have that just provides more distraction, because that means that Generation Z wants to get more jobs to pay for those interests. So they're distracted from their work again. Or they'll find ways to shortcut that work to be able to spend more time working or getting money.
And guess what one of the things is you need that to be successful in your job is? Sleep.
Yeah, and I mean, again, it's way easier to put off sleep doing something that you like, or you fall into that cycle of trying to finish your homework. It's way easier to be sleep deprived and just shoot yourself up with a whole bunch of caffeine compared to, I mean, because like you're losing hours. You're losing hours of productivity, of entertainment, and like a fully immersive day of like social media and like all these distractions. Like, who wouldn't rather stay up playing their latest game or getting lost in the files of the Reddit pages?
Now, human life, 1/3 of that is sleeping. And could you just like imagine what, like how amazing like life would be if we didn't have to sleep? Because theoretically, we could get more things than we could possibly imagine that we wanted to get done, completely done. Like all that homework, all that sociable media stuff, whatever that you want to do, it's all like done and you've done it.
Well, like, I feel like there's a problem with that, because if you think about it, we become so much more efficient than our ancestors. Like, it used to take, like, every book used to have to be handwritten, or, like, every piece of clothing hand-stitched. It used to take tons of time out of people's day. And I feel like businesses are really good at redirecting that extra time, because I feel like at a certain point, when humans run out of things to do, like busy work, like having to go to a job, I feel like there's a sense of boredom that we saw. Like, you know, in Brave New World, where there's this world leader who's talking about how they've experimented with trying to give people more leisurely time, and how it led to people using more of the drug to try and stimulate entertainment, to like to be happy, because there is that sense of boredom. And I feel like if we never slept, there would be that increased sense of boredom unless we worked more. I feel like a lot of people would be taking more late night shifts, and I feel like it would become the new norm. Like 8-hour work days would become 12-hour work days, or maybe you just never, like, you just clock in, clock out, take a break, because you don't need sleep. So at that point, I feel like we've kind of created a lot more efficiency for businesses and stuff like that, but I feel like it's not really leisurely time.
So we have created efficiency based around the handicaps of our human life, essentially. And because of these handicaps, we have learned the advantages, disadvantages of technology that they possess on our human lives. And now we would like to offer what we think are some very decent solutions to this sleep epidemic that is occurring in teenagers.
And one of these is, as we previously mentioned, maybe more coordination with teachers. So we have exams, maybe not necessarily on the same day, but that allows you to keep to that same schedule. Maybe just rotate it a bit. Maybe instead of having a test around one subject, you have it around maybe one subject and grasping into a new subject, but you move the exam day so that people aren't staying up late studying for all these tests that they inevitably don't do as well on, because their mind is kind of split, because they have to focus on different tasks, on different subjects on the same night, trying to cram it all into their head. That's just exhausted, because you don't really comprehend everything you learn, especially the night before. You need it drilled into you over time. And I also feel like another good option might be to try to make homework a little more entertaining. Make it seem like it's almost immersive. Maybe that means like having a little bit more technological integration, but then there is also a downside, I admit, to that, because of the blue light factor, because we don't want to offset that sleeping pattern. So what students need to do is they need to make sure that they're away from technology at least an hour before, or it becomes standard that blue light filtering is on all devices, which is unattractive because it does not look as aesthetically pleasing, and a lot of people like the look of the blue light.
Now, another option that we would like to present is for the students. And this is a very important life skill called time management. Now, I know you may not have heard this before, but time management means being able to set specific time goals for different tasks that you need to complete during your day. So, you know, there's an app for everything nowadays. Perhaps place limits on your phone to how much you're allowed to be on it per day. Download an app that reminds you when to do your homework. You know, how long you should spend to study on certain things. Maybe you have a test on like Friday for math, and you say, okay, I'm gonna study 15 minutes each day before that test. So that way, perhaps you don't have to cram the night before, and you slowly reviewed throughout the week, and you thought, well, you know, now I've smartened myself up in this math.
Yeah, and I feel like if maybe another tip for students is maybe a little bit more organization, because a lot of people stress out because they find out an assignment's due that they didn't expect on, so they're rushing to complete it, and it leads to them not being prepared for the class, or once again cheating from another student to try and get that good grade. Because I feel like, as many students feel, that high school becomes nothing more than a letter grade. It's all about getting that certain percent.
Right, and that letter grade has become the epitome of like what all colleges look at and everything. And perhaps a little more cooperation and understanding between students and teachers could help us get the recommended sleep that we need, those 8 hours plus.
And I like, especially as you're talking about with colleges, like, just because one student is more privileged in time management or in having a more secure household doesn't mean that they're better fit for college. I'd argue that a lot of the minorities are probably better for college because they've had to juggle a lot in their life, and if they're not having to focus on at like their home life while they're away in college, that can be redirected to hard work at jobs or for studying, because they've had to juggle most of their lives. A lot of these minorities that are like the breadwinners of their household that are just trying to make a way for themselves. And I feel like in actuality, the best combination is a mixture of all of these things. We need to take into coordination all of them.
Yes, and coordination, organization, time management, cooperation, technology, all these factors come together will help everyone get that good night's sleep.
Help Generation Z get way more Z's.
This has been NPR Nightly News.
And we are here to disappoint Mr. Story.
Woo! As technology becomes more and more a part of the daily lives of a rapidly innovative and advancing species of people.
Innovative.
As technology becomes more and more and more a part of the daily lives of a rapidly innovative and advancing species of people.
the implications of a world advancing as fast as ours is that there never seems to be enough time. And because there is not enough time, we have to make sacrifices. And that sacrifice often seems to be sleep.
I'm Joshua.
And I'm tired. I mean Teddy.
No! As technology becomes more and more a part of the daily lives of a rapidly innovative and advancing species of people.
Could we...
Line!
I'm trying to change something.